Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Asking the question, give us a specific. Don't just say the offense, although one person already did. 877-881-1053. What is one early change you would like to see the club make? The Rangers lose to the Diamondbacks last night 4-1. They are now 1-3, and they will get back after it today at 3:05, pregame at 2:30. By the way, bonus KNC, we will go all the way till 2:30 today.
Well, I'll start this off. And I'll start it off by not even my suggestion. I'll start it off by Steve Buschel's suggestion, because I watched last night Rangers live after the game, and he said he would like to see Joey Gallo bat third. And the reason is because in the first inning so far, it's mostly been 1-2-3 innings, which means Joey's not getting up in the first inning. Your best batter's not getting up in the first inning. And so his suggestion last night on Rangers Live was to possibly move Joey Gallo to batting third overall in the lineup. So that way, no matter what happens with your leadoff hitter and your number two hole hitter, Joey Gallo becomes a threat in the first inning.
That's a very small adjustment. I mean, like a lot of people are like, oh, let's overhaul this entire thing. But it's a very small adjustment. What's the downside of that, Mike, if you did that?
The only thing is Joey comfortable doing
okay.
it?
Okay, right. I'm glad that you said that, and I was hoping we could dive back into that a little bit more, because I guess I've never quite been able to wrap my head around what that means by he's not comfortable with it, because outside of the first go through the batting order, you're not necessarily going to go like in that same exact order to start the inning again. So what difference does it really make where you hit in the lineup? Like, do you walk up to the plate and you're like, well, I'm number two today instead of number five, so I have to hit better? Like, can y'all try to walk me through? I guess, honestly, I've never really understood why that makes such a difference. Like, I get when you get benched and you don't get to play a lot and it's hard to get into a rhythm, but what difference does it make when you're still walking up to the plate every three innings or so?
Mike, correct me if I'm wrong. Can I take a stab at this real quick? Is it that you have a few more responsibilities as a three-hole hitter with a couple guys on base rather than maybe being the four-hole hitter where you can just swing away and try and hit a bomb?
I don't know. I think it's a great question. I think for most guys that struggle with moving up to the top three or top four in the lineup is they feel added pressure. From a pitcher's standpoint, we shouldn't do this. Every pitch should have the most purposeful situation ever. And whether you're facing Joey Gallo or facing the nine-hole hitter, it should all be the same. But it's not. It just isn't. When you go over a scouting report with the pitching coach before a game, he's going to give you the guys that we must avoid in big situations and say, look, we're going to pitch around them. Or we got to be really, really careful in certain situations, and guys that have to be automatic outs. These guys have to be outs if we're going to be successful today. And I guess sometimes if you get put into the top three, I really feel like top four. So Gallo to me is already in the major part, batting fourth overall. But I would just say it's one of those things where guys sometimes feel the added pressure, and pitchers concentrate harder on the heart of the lineup more than they will at times with the bottom third of the lineup.
Kevin, there's one other thing about that that kind of irks me a little bit.
Okay.
And that is, we've had a number of interviews with Woody, and we've had a number of, you know, when we've listened to him talk to the other guys, the same message always comes out, and that is, I want the guys to what? Be comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I've heard him say that on many occasions.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to allow your star to not feel comfortable being uncomfortable, then that doesn't send a good message to everybody else. Now, or even a good message to him. You got to, and I'm not saying force him to do something, but you got to make him feel like, look, if we got, we really need you to do this if you believe that that's going to make a difference. So for me, I don't think that they believe that it's going to make a difference whether he's hitting three or four, because they're not making him to do it or asking it of him.
And also, I think that when we talk about discomfort, discomfort is not the same for everybody else. And with Joey Gallo, my understanding is, like, he has a little bit of self-consciousness, to put it as nicely as I can, about him that can be some level of, and this might not be the right word, like debilitating. It can hold him back. So I think that when it comes to, like, Joey Gallo, with the level of offense that he's going to bring you, comparatively to the rest of your lineup, like, you need him to be maximum comfortable and maximum okay, particularly because if you try and make him uncomfortable and then it doesn't go well, what else are you really looking at?
From the 469, so we're asking, it's only been four games. Rangers offense has looked atrocious. They're now 1-3. What one change would you like to see the club make? Now, I wanted to key in on this person because, like, I get that they haven't been playing well, but man, does it seem like social media has decided that this person is the cause of all of our problems. From the 469, get Santana out of the lineup. Like, he was the best offensive surprise we had last year, and man, oh man, has Rangers Twitter turned on him hard through four games. Is it, like, I get that it's the production. Is it the at-bats themselves? Why do you think people are going after him so hard?
Where he's been put in the lineup, probably, right? Like, you have
that's not his fault.
I know it's not his fault, but, like, I think that that's part of, I mean, when you're talking about get him out of the lineup, are you really trying to put that on him, or are you putting that on the manager at that point? Right?
So do you think get him out of the lineup means bump him down, or, like, legitimately put him on the bench because we're done with him?
I think a lot of people, Kevin, whenever they say get him out of the lineup means, yeah, we let him be what he was last year. Let him be a guy that kind of, you know, patrols a little bit and does some things here and there. He was almost an everyday player last year, but he didn't have, you know, he didn't have a spot that he felt safe in. So maybe even he was fighting a little harder to try and earn whatever it was that he was supposed to have. But whenever you only have one hit and 17 at bats, that's not helping your team.
Yeah.
So yes, you got to change the, you know, if he's going to be in a certain spot of the lineup, then you gotta be able to feel like, all right, we gotta get somebody else up there that can do that. Where's Solak hitting in this lineup right now?
He'll bat today. He'll play today because it's a left-handed pitcher in Madison Bumgarner, and he will probably bat second today. They changed their lineup a little bit because Kyle Freeland was a left-handed pitcher on Sunday, and Solak batted in the top third of the lineup. He's a guy who I really love his at-bats. I love the way he battles at the plate, puts the ball in play. That's one of the things that I might look to change, but then I have to take out his position is Willie Calhoun's position, who I'm not ready to give up yet. His position is Danny Santana, which, you know, if to your point, Kevin, on social media, people are really mad at Danny Santana, but I don't know if you want to give up on him playing center field four games into the season, or Nick Solak's position is second base or DH. And Chu's had some good at-bats. He hasn't had a lot of success, but he's had some good at-bats, and Rougui Odor hit a home run for you yesterday to give you your one run. So those are kind of the positions Solak can play, and it's not really easy right now to just say, okay, Solak's in and you are out.
And to let you know that we're the home of the Rangers, right when Mike's talking about the lineup, you know, shout out to John Blake with the Rangers, he puts out the lineup for today. Solak's batting second in DH.
Oh, good call,
there you go.
Mike.
There you go. Yeah. Nice move. Nice
and it
move.
Looks like Heinemann's playing center field today.
Okay,
and see, that's something I was going to ask about. Not Heinemann specifically, but at what point do you take a look at Leody Taveras and say, what can we do with him? on this roster out in center field. Is he ready, or should we just treat this season as an opportunity to kind of get him ready?
I mean, if you look at his minor league numbers, he didn't show in the minor leagues that he's ready to handle major league pitching.
Okay.
So, I mean, you can put him out there and be like, hey, I know it didn't happen in the minor leagues, but I believe it's going to happen in the major leagues. And he didn't put up bad minor league numbers. It was just that, you know, when we think of Ronald Acuna Jr., go look at what he did. Go look at what, you know, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. did in the minor leagues. Go look at what Juan Soto did. Like, I mean, this is kind of what we want out of, like, Leody Taveras. But those guys were batting 400 in AA and AAA. So it's like, dude, they're too good for this level. They shouldn't be at AA or they shouldn't be at AAA. What Leody Taveras was showing last year is like, hey, he's a solid AA hitter.
What about the concept, and I've seen this a couple of times, from the 210, never put IKF at third again. Obviously, the Rangers have had some defensive issues as well. I just want to point out, it's not that I don't see all of the texts, like from the 903, sell the team to legitimate owners, and from the 214, replace the entire front office and the farm director. Like, I see those things, and I know a lot of people are texting those things in. That seems unlikely to happen today or tomorrow or, you know, like for the rest of the season. We're trying to, like, come up with things that, like, maybe you could institute over the next series or over the next handful of games and maybe turn this around. For all the people saying those bigger picture things, I see you. I hear you. I'm just telling you, probably not going to happen this moment.
New stadium. Get a new stadium.
We did just get a new stadium.
Obviously, this one's not working out for us. Build a new one.
Go back to the old one.
Defective stadium.
Hopefully, they figure out a way to win today, and they go to San Francisco, who's, you know, they're not a good team. And you sweep San Francisco, and all of a sudden you're, you know, kind of where we hoped they would be after 10 games into the season. But, you know, I mean, now we're asking where we wanted them to be to start the season would be somewhat, you know, winning today and then sweeping San Francisco. But it's still a long season. There's still a lot of games. They haven't played very many, and hopefully it all changes today.
I got a question about – and, Kevin, this is real quick.
Okay.
It may be a long answer, though, Mike. Sorry. The scouting reports on pitchers, right now you don't have a lot, I mean, other than what you know of them in the past. With those scouting reports, how long does it take a player's to start getting in the groove of a rhythm of, okay, I need to really understand what pitchers are throwing me?
You know what? I think this is a great question because we didn't discuss this before the show, but I was thinking of this last night as they were getting no hit through six innings. And I was like, maybe the worst thing that happened to them is they're facing all National League teams to start their 10-game season.
Okay.
And I don't know. I'm throwing it out there as in if they were facing Oakland and Anaheim and Seattle, let's just take Houston out of it or Houston, you know.
They got books on all of them.
Yeah, they've faced all – most likely everybody they're going to throw at them, they've had 5 to 50 at-bats off of those guys. And right now against Colorado and against Arizona right now and then against San Francisco coming up, most likely they have limited to no at bats against these guys. So when we're looking at it, I know Sandler and I were texting last night and we were wondering if mentally the park is having anything to do with it, that they take a batting practice in it for a month now and they feel like their best swing can't get the ball out of the park or it's going to have a tough time getting out of the park. Yesterday, Kendall Marte crushed a ball and I thought it was gone for sure. And Joey Gallo caught it at the warning track. So they're not maybe having the hitters that are coming into this park yet having the mental block of I can't hit a home run here. And maybe the Rangers are already going up there with a mental block of I don't know if I can hit a home run here.
Now, Corey, I wanted to give you guys a quick update. Once again, we go to Brad Townsend on Twitter for the story that we started off with. And get ready for this second part. I'm told the Mavericks will issue a statement today regarding the Sports Illustrated story. And then this is what Mark Cuban told. Mark Cuban, who, of course, you remember, owns the Dallas Mavericks. This is what he told Brad Townsend. You really need to talk to Synth on this. She is obviously the expert and has handled everything on it. Wow. That's how it's going to be, huh, Mark Cuban?
Isn't that why he hired her?
Yeah.
Is that the job that she's hired to do?
I mean, I guess, but it's your team and you were involved with the previous accusations and now your organization is being brought up again and your answer is, oh, don't ask me.
Also, within the context, very recently, we've seen Mark Cuban stand up and speak for the Mavs when it comes to like things with the pandemic and these things. So it feels odd. It does feel weird that he's decided to step back on this particular issue rather than being the face of the franchise as it seems like he frequently is.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.